Lynn Fraser is going to help your finances get into shape. Financial Fitness with Lynn Fraser on Family Radio CHRI.
Good morning and welcome to the Financial Fitness Show with Lynn Fraser. And I get to spend this morning, and so do you, with one of my favorite people. And so welcome to the studio, Miss Mercedes Van Oppen. I'm so thrilled that you're here.
I'm really happy to be here too.
So for the listeners to know, Mercedes comes to work with me in the mornings. She comes into my office and has been working this year as a client care specialist. And last year she worked as a summer student, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is the best employee I've ever had in my life. And then I got the pleasure of having her back full time. So I'm thrilled to share her with you this morning.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me on the show. I'm really, really excited.
And so, Mercedes, let's talk a little bit about who you are for the listeners. So you are how old?
17. I'll be 18 in January.
Okay, so you're 17 and you're working full time with me. How come you're not in school?
That's a good question. I was homeschooled until grade 11. And I went to public high school for my last year, and I skipped senior kindergarten because I'm homeschooled. I'm allowed to do that sometimes. So I skipped senior kindergarten, so I'm a grade ahead. And so I'm able to finish a year earlier than everyone else. So
you finished high school. You're a graduate of high school at 17.
Yeah.
And you had pretty good marks in school?
Yeah, I did. I do pretty well. I really like learning, so that kind of makes it a lot easier.
Actually, you're kind of humble because you're really very brilliant. You're not, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm sorry now. If you could see her, she's blushing. But yeah, she is very bright. And you've worked hard and you've finished early. And so the next question would be, how come you're not in university then?
Well, I would love to go to university right away, but unfortunately, I've kind of made the decision that my dad is David Van Oppen. He's been on the show before.
He is the financial fitness coach,
so
yes.
He's kind of really been encouraging me to really think about what I want to do for university and trying not to get into student debt. So I took this year off because I hadn't saved enough in the summers during high school to go to university without getting a student loan. So I took this year off to kind of for me too, like to grow as a person, to get some life experience, and also to save up some money for university.
Now, we have to note that there are a number of people listening where that's not the norm. So there are a number of parents that are listening that would not encourage their children to take a year off between for fear that they won't continue their education.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot, actually. People are like, oh, be careful. If you start working, you're going to like the cash. I think it's an important thing to... My parents have really instilled this idea of a career versus a job. I don't want to spend my whole life working at a job. I want to find something that I love to do and then pursue it. So that's never really been a concern for me, like personally, about taking this year off to go to university, because I'm looking towards a career. I know what I want to do as a career, and it's not being a client care specialist forever.
Oh, gee.
Sorry, Lynn.
That's okay. Well, I'm glad that we've got you for this year, and I'm glad that you love doing what you do now, and you're doing a great job. So we're just, it's a blessing to have you for as long as we do. I know that, but there is great wisdom in much of what you've said in terms of knowing who you are. So you took some time off, so you have some life experience. Does that help you to have a better sense of what you want in a career?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm a pretty driven, ambitious person. For anyone who knows me, it's pretty apparent. But this year has been really good just to take some time off to really have think space to go, is this really what I want to do? Is this going to be something that's really important to me? Do I want this to look? You know, all those kinds of things. It's been really, really great. It hasn't been easy. It's hard when you see all of your friends going off to university and you're still at home. But it's a really good experience for yourself, because I found, you know, you grow up. You have to grow up, especially working full time. You know, there's mom and dad are not going to coddle you and help you get things done on time.
No, you have to get up in the morning. You have to get yourself off. Yeah. And you can't just decide that you're going to have a sleep-in day.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work that
way. Doesn't work
way.
Well with the boss, no.
No. So.
So the maturity that you've gained in terms of making the transition, and I really appreciate the fact that, yes, there is some tension in watching your friends go off in a different direction or ahead of you. But I think that in itself it will help you mature. Right, you're not so much a victim of peer pressure when you've learned to combat it in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not, peer pressure is a strong word. You know, no one's pressuring me to go to university right away. But you do feel like, oh, what are you doing? And it's like, well, I'm taking you off to work. And heaven forbid you work in an office with your dad and all that kind of stuff. Like those kinds of things. It's been a really good experience to learn kind of how people think. And there are different experiences that really, you know, the kind of be careful comments that I get and the warnings that I never even thought of, you know?
Like very what? What are some of the warnings you get?
Well, like, I didn't really think that it was a big deal that I would work with my dad and, you know, but the warnings, oh, well, you know.
Oh, family, working with family.
Yeah, working with family. And I was like, oh, that's a problem. Okay, that's very interesting because I love working with my dad. It's really fun, so.
And you're the pet in the office, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get special treatment. Well, maybe somewhat, but not a lot.
No, and I mean it's kind of the good balance, you know. My dad is a really good dad, so in either case, you know, it's a nice balance of do I get petted a little bit more than maybe another person? Probably, but he's also harder on me in other ways because he knows what I'm capable of.
Just for the record, you can tell your friends that it was my decision to hire you.
I will.
And as much as your dad wanted to hire you, he left the decision to me, and it wouldn't have happened unless I knew you were awesome.
Well,
so,
thank you.
There you go. So you've earned that. It's not just because you're your dad's daughter. Yeah.
Well,
although
you
do get points for that, too. So in terms of, let's explore that whole concept of going to university without debt. Is it possible? Do you
Absolutely.
Think it's really possible
Absolutely.
To do that?
Absolutely, it's possible. I have cousins who've done it. Absolutely, it's possible. It's more than possible.
And so no debt. And what, your parents don't have to go into debt to do it?
No. I think it's really important parents understand that paying for your child's education is a privilege. If you can give that to them, that's amazing. They should be so grateful for that but it's not an obligation. It's not, you're not obligated to pay for your child's education, and you're definitely not obligated to go in debt so your child can go to school. So.
Oh, thank you, Mercedes. I am thrilled that you said that. I have to say that one of the greatest challenges that we have, that are facing couples now, is the whole idea that they have to give their kids so much. There is constant pressure on the parents to buy, to give, to support again and again and again. For all the sports that they play, they are time starved and they are money starved, trying to keep up with their kids' demands. And there's a concern of parents that if they don't keep up with their kids' demands, their kids are going to feel less loved. Because the kids hear that. The kids bring that back and say, well, if you don't, like, all of my friends have this, all of my friends are doing this, and if you don't do this for me, it means you don't love me. And so there's a huge amount of pressure on parents out there.
Yeah, and I think it's so important parents understand, like, parents out there, you're doing a really good job raising your kids. Like, all the stuff aside, you might not believe what I'm saying to you, but from a child to you parents, you're doing a really good job raising your kids. And it's, kids have different kinds of pressures and we bring different kinds of things home. And what's so important to remember is that most of what we say and how we behave is a result of thinking we need something when we just need your love and your time. And it's so important to just remember that stuff isn't going to fill up inside of them what's missing. And from a very early age, we learn that, well, if I just give them stuff, they'll be happy. And that's so not true because, you know, cutting out the sports teams or the, you know, those can be an important part of your family time. And if you kind of say, we're making decisions as a family to say no to certain things so we can spend time together, that will ultimately mean more to your child than any money you could spend on them.
I love that. I know that your family does sabbatical weekends.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
And so what that means is that no intervention, no outside interference, no other outside activities. You're going to spend a weekend focused on being a family without a bunch of friends, without a lot of, and you've got a big family, right?
Yeah,
so,
I do.
So there's potential for many activities. It is a busy household.
Yeah.
But on your sabbatical weekends, you focus inward on your family alone.
Yeah. And we'll still go out like this. We have one coming up at the end of November. We're going to go Christmas shopping together. But kind of the rule is we just do things as a family. So if we want to do an activity, we all do it. You know, it's not one or two of us if we don't split up, and because those weekends are really important to just kind of bond us together closer as a family.
And so you create some boundaries around
that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like no friends over. If we invite anyone over, like we don't go out. We invite people over if we want to. But then it's a family decision. We say, can we invite this family over or this person over? And then we all decide yes or no.
So, I love that. So you had said that it's okay to cut out the sports teams for your kids. And there are many parents listening that would say, but if my kids are not participating in their sports, there's risk that they're going to get into trouble and be on the streets. So better, they'll be in shopping malls or they'll be doing things that are not good. They'll be involved in internet activities that are not positive. So better that they play sports.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with playing sports. I mean, my brothers have played sports. And I think it's a decision, though, especially with things like minor hockey, where it's a huge portion of time. It's important your whole family makes the decision because it doesn't just affect the boys who are playing or the girls who are playing. It affects your whole family. We know people where it's a decision they've made as a family. It's a way they minister to other people in their community. It's the way they connect with other people. But if it's not a conscious decision, if you're just like, oh, yeah, they should go do that, because saying they're going to end up on the street if they don't play minor hockey is not, that's faulty reasoning. So
it's okay to say no. It's okay to say no to activities. And I have a niece whose daughter was involved in, I can't remember how many sports, like six sports at once. And there was every single night of the week that she had activity. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's got to be so hard. Yet, I mean, yeah.
And it depends too, how, like, we have a big family. I have four siblings. So we are kind of limited to one thing. But my parents are really good about talking to us about the things we want to do. So it was a decision my brother made not to play minor hockey because there was other things that he wanted to do with his time. Him and I are both involved in a community musical theater mm-hmm. company, and we devote a huge amount of time into that.
Yes, you do.
So to say, you know, cut out all activities, don't let your kids leave the house, is not really practical because those things are really fun. My sister does ballet, but we kind of are all limited to one thing each, you know? And that still gets my mom out of the house four or five nights a week.
Yeah, because there's so many kids.
Yeah, exactly. So,
But the whole family in some way participates in all your activities,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you and your brother are involved in this theater company. Well, mom and dad and, you know, like, there's a way that you involve your whole family in your practice, in your preparing. I know you do. I know you all participate. So it's wonderful. So last year... So you've been homeschooled all your life until last year. You chose to do your final year in a public high school.
Yeah.
What was that like for you?
It was a very interesting experience. I've definitely, it was, to begin with, it was really nice to know that I could compete academically with my peers. When you're homeschooled, you hear all the time, oh, you're socially awkward, or oh, you don't, you're not as smart, or oh, you're really, really smart, or, you know, it. So there's, you get, there's all these doubts thrown at you because people, because you're not in the traditional system.
So people have a, they're suspicious of the homeschool environment. Yes.
It's like, oh, do you stay home and do nothing all day? And it's like, no, we don't. It's called homeschooling, not home doing nothing, you know?
Sure.
So, but for me, I'm a very introverted person. I enjoy being by myself. And school was a challenge in that way because I had to go out of my house for 5 days a week and go to school and engage with people. And that was really difficult in some ways.
Was it distracting when you were trying to do your academics?
Well, I'm a pretty hardline person. I would just ignore everyone else. But, I mean, I had some really good friends who we became really close over the course of the year, so that was really nice. And no one else noticed. My guidance counselor said to my mom at the end of the year, you know, oh, Mercy's just wonderful. She engages with all these different, like, groups of people and all the different grades and all that. So it's, she's just wonderful. She really takes these people under her wing and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, I totally would not have said that about myself. But it's nice to know that I didn't, the way I felt didn't show at school. So
you may feel like an introvert. You may be an introvert, but you're also a leader. And so you can be a leader and an introvert at the same time. That's probably a good message.
Yeah, absolutely.
To all the introverts.
If you push yourself, you can do it.
So when the, so you're certainly rubbing shoulders with a whole lot of people that were, would have been looking to go on to university.
Yeah.
And what were some of the, what do you think some of the concerns were they had about their future and their parents and how what education looked like for them?
I mean, probably mainly, am I going to get into the program? We kind of, teenagers think very short term. If there's any message I can give, it's that teenagers think in like 6 month increments. So if it's not in the next 6 months, they probably aren't really that worried about it. The long term, I'm making a very generalized statement, but I do know that for myself, that's very true. You know, you tend to think in kind of very short terms, unless someone comes in and says, hey, let's look at the big picture. You need to worry about more than just how you're going to get into the university. You need to worry about how you're going to pay for it and where you're going to stay and all that kind of stuff.
And what it's going to look like when you come out. Is this a career that's actually going to contribute to the world? Is it a career that's going to be fulfilling? Is it a career that's you're going to find a job in? Right? Yeah. All of those things.
Yeah. I mean, and also a big concern was, am I picking a career that's going to be viable in 4 or 5 years when I come out? And am I going to be able to make a lot of money? I think one of the, I want to say like the big lies of my generation is that we feel entitled. We go into university, we get our BA. Because we've spent so much money over the last 4 years, we feel like we should come out, we should be able to get a $70,000, $80,000 a year paying job, and that should be the end of it, and we should be able to do it in our field right at a university. And that's really not going to happen.
That's just not true.
No. So
have you been in communication? I'm sure you've been in communication with those that have already gone ahead of you that are in university now, that are your age group. So how are they doing?
Some better than others. Most are stressed about money.
They are.
Yeah, it's really sad. It's hard to watch, you know, because, and that has been really important for me to see, because you don't know until you see your friends walking this road and they're like, man, if I had 3 years ago saved some more money or done something different, I would not be this stressed out about how I'm living right now.
Yeah. And they probably don't even feel like they can turn back the clock either, right? They're, once they're on the path, it's not necessarily easy for them to see a way out.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really difficult to watch as a friend and to know, I don't want that to be me. I don't want to be in university worrying about how I'm going to get grocery money or how I'm going to pay for tuition next year without taking out this giant student loan that I'm never going to be able to pay off.
Yeah. So what about the student loans? So there's a concern, I think, that, that a lot of students will get their student loans and they'll spend it all in the first month or two and then struggle with the next months.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's about making a plan. I mean, it sounds awful and annoying, and teenagers hate this. It's like, but it's about being intentional and saying, if I know I'm going to spend $500 on groceries every month, then I need to make sure I have enough money to do like 12 months of school or 9 months of school before I go home. Or I need to make sure that mom's sending me groceries. You know, like, you need to think ahead a bit and kind of plan that out to know, this is how much money I have for this amount of time, and this is how much I need. And make sure the numbers line up.
These are the options. This is what it's going to cost. This is a reality of life. And what a better way to learn what life really looks like. I mean, really, this is a transition phase, you know, from childhood to adulthood, being totally responsible for your whole life. Yes, it's a transition, but unless you're guided through, unless you learn the steps, then you're going to fail.
And at 18, we're expected to know so much more than we actually do. You know, most of us have never even like written a check before, never mind make a plan for our spending habits. And
what about all those credit card decisions you have to make at 18?
Exactly. It's a lot. I mean, if there's any advice I can give to parents, like, understand your child pretends they know everything at 18, but they really don't. So, like, when in doubt, tell them what they don't know.
So what are some of the practical things that parents can do right now with their 17-year-olds to prepare them for the future?
Well, I think the first important thing is, what do they want to do? My dad has been so good. He said, I would never stop you guys from going into the arts or anything like that. You just have to understand what that's going to look like and what that's going to mean. And how are we going to plan for that? That, you know, if you go to get an art, like a dramatic arts degree, you're probably not going to be making a great deal of money. So you probably shouldn't go into a great deal of debt. If you're going to be a lawyer, well, you can probably take out some student loans and it's not going to be a big deal because you're going to be making quite a bit of money when you leave. So those kinds of things are important conversations to have, to say, hey, let's look at what you want to do. What are you thinking? And don't tell them what they're thinking, because then they won't open up and be honest with you. I think another important thing is to really sit down with them and say, okay, so this is what you're thinking. This is a plan. We need to help you create a plan. We need to help you figure out where you're going to go. And I mean, some people will be more open to that than others. So that's, I think it's really important to understand for parents. You know, some children will be like, yes, I want to do this and help me figure this out, and others won't. And sometimes it's important just to let your child make mistakes on their own.
And that is, I think that's one of the biggest things, you know, being a mom, you know, yeah. A mom's part of who a mom is to protect her children. Yeah. And at all times, right? From the time they take their first breath, you would give your life to protect your children. So it's not an easy thing to let your children fall and make mistakes and get bumped and bruised along the way. But I think it's essential. And in fact, when we as parents insulate them entirely from those bumps and bruises and mistakes, that they're not equipped, they can't be equipped for what's to come, because it's a big, big world out there that has all kinds of trials along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something my parents have been really good at. They just really have let me make my own mistakes and make my own decisions and choose my own career and choose my own university and all those kinds of things. They let me do that with their guidance and with their suggestions, but only if I ask for it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, our time is almost up, and I want to say a little bit about you. one of the things that I appreciate about working with you is that you bring to the table something of value. You bring to the table an energy, an initiative. You bring yourself to the table every morning. You bring yourself full in. You're ready to work. You're ready to participate. You're ready to anticipate. You're ready to serve. And that makes you very employable.
Thank you.
So even without your dad, you'd have a job. but that's going to serve you well. It's going to serve you well as you go off to university and as you start your career. You will always find work because you come with the right attitude. And all of the things that you've talked about has contributed, besides being Christ-centered. I mean, I know that is the biggest part of who you are that comes to the table. You're Christ-centered, you're Christ-focused, and you really look to Him as a role model as to how you should live. Mm-hmm. And you live that way. And it shows up in all that you are and all that you do. And you will always, always do well. Mercy, I've said all along, you are a world changer, and I'm grateful for having an opportunity to work with you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for hanging out with us this morning. And so I want to close in prayer as per our tradition. And so let's do that. So, Father, I thank you that you have given me the opportunity and the privilege of walking us alongside of this young lady for a period of time. And I know that there are people that are listening that are moms and dads that have a heart to walk alongside of their kids in the way that Mercy's been walked with. And so, Lord, I just pray that you will remove the barriers, you will remove the time crunches, you will remove the things that seem important that are just impediments to their relationship, and soften the hearts of the kids and the moms and dads so that they can come into a place of true mentorship, of true relationship, and allow these kids to blossom and grow into what you've created them for, because really that's our job as parents, is to just allow our kids to be all that you've made them for. And I just thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you're going to do, and I give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Well, if you are in need of figuring it all out, as how do I support my kids in their future? How do I support my kids in making their financial decisions and being prepared for their education and when and where and what? That's all part of our financial fitness coaching process, is that we walk alongside you as adults to make the decisions that are necessary that will allow you to be in the right place at the right time to support your kids in a way that's God-honoring and will allow them to be what they're created for. So call us. Our number is 613-520-4157, or go to the website at morethanenough.ca. You'll find out all about us, and you'll find out all the ways that you can contact us. And we will be here again next week. I just love hanging out with you. Mercy, will you come back again? You've got more stories to tell us.
I will come back again as long as I'm welcome.
You're always welcome, and I just love hanging with you. Wow. So we just thank you for listening in this morning, and we look forward to spending time again with you next week. And have an amazing day filled with hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. God bless.